Praise God. God is good. Amen. How many came to hear from the Lord tonight? How many said the switch of faith is turned on? Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening to you. How many say, speak, Lord, go ahead and speak through your word. Speak through your spirit to me. I'm listening to you. Praise God. Amen. The Lord is good. Tonight, the title of my message tonight is One Word from God is All You Need. Look at somebody. Say that to somebody else. Help me with my title. Look at somebody and say, well, you know, one word from God, it's all you need. Look at somebody else and say, one word from God is all you need. Praying last week, asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have us share? You know, Sunday night's coming up. What would you have us share? And in prayer, praying, man, I felt that so strongly down in my spirit. One word from God is all you need. I expect tonight that we're not going to finish, so we're not going to rush. We'll just take this in two parts. We expect to do that. Let's just see how it flows. But we expect to share just the first part of this message, which is for tonight. I want to begin, having given my title, One Word from God is All You Need. I want to begin showing you one of my favorite pictures. You know who this little guy is? This is my grandson. His name is Kendrick William Ray. Kendrick William Ray. He's all of 3 years old. He was with us all last week during spring break, Tony and I. And that little joker, he ran us around all week. We had a blast, though. We got back at him. We took him to the zoo, and we wore him out. He said, Papa, my legs hurt. I said, good, keep walking. We got the little joker back to the car. We hadn't even got out the parking lot. His head was thrown back in sleep. He was knocked out. I took a picture of him and laughed. But I have his picture with me tonight because it highlights how I want to start this sermon. One word from God is all you need. This is a picture that Tony took of him several months back. And all over our home, Tony so beautifully decorated our home, my beautiful wife. And so she has pictures of the family all over the house. Pictures like this, you know, and different momentous occasions of our family are posted on the walls in our home like this. And this one happened to be just on the entryway as you come in our front door. This picture hangs there proudly of Kendrick. His middle name is William, like my name is William. So he's Kendrick William Ray. And so this picture hangs there. Now, he hadn't seen it, but we were babysitting one night, not this past week, but a few weeks back. We were babysitting, and so he was just walking around his happy-go-lucky self. He was playing when all of a sudden he walked over by the front door, and he happened to glance up, and he saw his picture on the wall. And he was shocked by it. And we heard him yell out, hey, that's me. But he kept saying it, that's me. That's me right there. And he looked, you know, he walked this way and looked at it. He said, that's me. And then he walked this way and looked at it. He said, that's me. He called me Papa. He said, Papa, come here. Come here. He went, grabbed my hand. I said, yeah, buddy, what do you want? He said, that's me. I said, I know that's you. He said, that's me. And then he went and got T.T., that's Tony. He said, T.T., come here. And so Tony walked over. He said, that's me. And when his parents came to pick him up, you know what he said? He told his dad. He said, Daddy, come here. That's me. He told his mama, Mama, that's me. He went and told his brother. He said, Bubba, come here. He said, Bubba, that's me up there. He found himself in a picture that we had of him on the wall. And he couldn't take his eyes off of what he's seen. I came here to tell you tonight that God, he has a rhema word for you. And whenever you find yourself on the pages of scripture, when you find and can identify yourself with something God has said about you in the word, when you find yourself who you are in Christ on the pages of this book, I tell you, it is a that's me moment. We ought to be like grandson Kendrick when we see in the word that we're blessed, that God's blessed us with every spiritual blessing and heavenly places in Christ. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1, we ought to look in there and say, hey, that's me. Hey, that's me. When we get a rhema word, when the word says Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We ought to look at that scripture and say, hey, that's me. That's me right there. When the Bible says we're the healed of the Lord, we ought to look at the word of God and say, hey, that's me. That's me. I said, whatever you need tonight, God's got a rhema word just for you. And you ought to be able to look at that picture with little Kendrick and say, that's me. That's me right there. That's me in the word. Oh, because once God gives you a rhema word and you see yourself in the light of that word, look out. Something's about to change. I said circumstances will change. People will change. Things will change all around you when you find yourself in the light of the word and you can identify yourself and say, hey, that's me right there. God is talking about me. When the word says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and you say, that's me. Oh, I tell you, that's a great, great moment. Tonight, I want to begin our key text here. Our key text is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Those first 10 verses, if you will. I'm reading from the New American Standard. If you would, go in your Bible, 1 Samuel. And just before the book of Kings, you'll find the book of 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read those first 10 verses as a key scripture to what we're teaching on tonight. One word from God is all you need. You say, yeah, but I've got questions, preacher. I've got things I need answers to. But one word from God is all you need. You say, but yeah, I come searching tonight. I come in need tonight. But one word from God is all you need. You say, but preacher, you don't know my situation. I'm in need of a job. One word from God is all you need. You say, you don't know my situation. My family has certain needs. One word from God is all you need. I said, one word from the Lord is all you need tonight. Oh, man. And if you'll keep the switch of faith turned on, God's got a word from you. We're reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I'm reading the New American Standard. Here we go. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and a word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And it happened at that time that Eli was lying down in his place, and now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. And then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, lie down again. And so he went and lay down, verse 6. And then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And so Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. And so the Lord called to Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. I want to begin my remarks about this text making two observations, really from verse 1 and verse 5. And verse 1 tells us that at that time in Israel's history, that words from the Lord and visions were infrequent. They were rare and infrequent. And that's a strange thing to read that in the word. Because God has always had a right now word for his people. The Lord has never been silent. He's always had a word in due season. Just one word from the Lord is all you need. And so it's curious to see that the scripture says that during that time, that a word from God, it was rare. It was infrequent. But it wasn't because God had nothing to say to his people. The reason that words were so rare and so infrequent was because of Israel's disobedience.
God would speak to Israel, and when they disobeyed him, then God would stop telling them things because they weren't listening. They weren't following in the light of his instruction. They weren't walking in obedience to what they knew. And so a word was rare, not because God didn't have anything to say. A word was rare because of the disobedience of the people. God's always had a word in season. He's got a word for you tonight. If you're listening, are you listening? And so then the second thing, verse five lets us know another observation about this text. It says, then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down." And so he went and lay down. So he goes to the prophet. He goes to the man of God. And after he hears the Lord call him, he didn't know who called him. He thinks Eli called him. And he goes to the prophet. And he says, "You called me." And Eli sends him back. Of course, we read the story. It happens three times with Eli finally concluding, "Oh, God is talking to you." But the scripture there tells us that Eli's eyesight had grown dim. But not only had his eyesight grown dim, his hearing, his ability to hear the Lord. This is the prophet. This is the man of God. But his spiritual hearing had become dull. And he had grown dim, not just in eyesight, but dull in hearing. And it's a strange thing when the man of God, when the prophet of God, because see, back during those days, the prophet, the priest, and the king were primarily the three who God revealed his word to. And when someone needed a word from the Lord, they typically had to go to the prophet, the priest, or the king to get that word. And now here's one of the main three. Eli's one of the main three. But his hearing from God has grown dim through his own disobedience. And so a word was rare. And then the man of God, the person you would expect that God would have brought the word to, would have been Eli. But God doesn't bring the word to Eli because Eli wasn't listening. He brings the word to the young boy, Samuel. And this powerful dissertation occurs. I'm so glad today that we live in the day and age of the New Testament believer. Because in John 4:17, Jesus said, there's a day coming, and that's the day we're living in. He said, there's a day coming when the Holy Spirit will be in you. The Holy Spirit, you'll follow the Holy Spirit, but he'll also be down in you. The Holy Spirit will come to reside on the inside of you. You won't have to go to the prophet to get a word. You won't have to go to the priest to get a word. You won't have to go to the king to get a word. You won't have to go to another man to get a word. You can come right. My Holy Spirit will dwell on the inside of you. And when you need a word from me, I can give you a word any hour of the day, any hour of the night, any time of the day. I've got a word for you. No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, God says, I got a word for you. Hey, he says, he's talking to you. I've got a word for you. I've got a word. But so often God is talking and we're not listening close enough. Brother won't get no amen there. I said, so often the Lord is speaking. He's speaking all right. But you and I aren't listening closely enough. And tonight I want to remind you, we got to listen. We got to turn on our spiritual ears. We got to listen. Listen up. God's talking to you. Listen up. Listen up. God's got something to say to you. And you see, the Lord sees what you're going through. He sees everything you're going through. And the good news about it, God's got your answer. Not only does he see what you're going through, God's got an answer for you. I said, God's got a word for you. You say, well, if he had a word, I sure wish he'd give it to me. Well, keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. God's got a word for you. He's got a word for you tonight. Praise God. And so Jesus said, there's a day coming when the Holy Spirit will abide in you and then he will live in you. And glory to God, we are living in the New Testament and the day of the New Testament believer where the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of us. So God is speaking clearly. God is speaking boldly. God is speaking frequently to his people. Aren't you glad for that? In fact, every time you open the word, God's ready to speak to you. I said, opening the word ought to be just like you say, God, I open the word, God is speaking unto me. Praise God. But somebody says, well, but when I open the word, I don't get that, Brother Bill. The word is so boring. The word is so dry. Somebody told me one time, said, the word is so boring. The word is so dry. When I read the word, if I ever want to fall asleep, I just go read the word. Somebody told me that.
They said, the word is so dry, the word is so boring. They said, I'm just being honest. They said, it's so dry and boring. If I ever want to fall asleep, then I just go get the word and then I can fall right to sleep. Because I read it, just puts me to sleep. It's just so boring. Well, that's a person. That's a person who's not in the right relationship with their Savior. Because when we get in the right relationship with our Savior, and by that I mean, listen, there ought to be reverence when we read the word. I said, the Bible is like no other book on the planet. And when a Christian reads the word, we ought to do so with reverence. I said, when a Christian reads the word, we ought to understand that the word is inerrant. God's word is without error. When we read the word, we ought to read the word as the word being our final authority. We got too many people reading the word as just an option. The word is no option. I said, read the word as your final authority, and God's got a word for you. As long as you have a casual approach to the word, it'll be hard to hear. You know, the words for you will be rare and frequent. You'll have to run around. Is there a word over here? Is there a word over here? Oh, but when you then embrace the word with reverence, when you embrace the word for what it is, the inspired word of God, when you embrace the word as your final authority, when you take time out of your day, out of your schedule to read and meditate in God's word, whoa, something will change. And suddenly, God will be speaking to you all the time. Suddenly, you'll have a hot rhema word in your heart all the time. Praise God. Glory to God. And so say this with me, my brother and sister. Father, make your word come alive to me. Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to say that again with me. Father, make your word come alive to me. Your word is living and active. Say that with me. Your word is living and active. Your word determines my thoughts and my actions and my values. Oh, that sounds good. Say it one more time. Your word determines my thoughts. What's that mean? When something doesn't line up, when one of your thoughts doesn't line up with the word, that's when you kick that out. I said, can I get an amen there? I said, when a thought that enters your mind doesn't line up with the word, that's when you kick that thought out. We got too many people today just letting any old thought run through their mind. Let's finish. Your word, say it again, your word determines my thoughts and my actions and my values. Tell him now, mean it from your heart. Your word is my final authority. Praise God. Glory to God. Because all you need tonight is one word from God. All your questions will go away with just one word from God. All your fears will dissipate with just one word from God. All your hurts and pains will heal and fade away with just one word from God. Are you ready to receive? Are you listening to the Lord? Someone say this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I'm going to give you one more chance. Now, if you don't want the Lord to speak to you, don't say anything. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. When someone gets a rhema word, they latch onto it. And things begin to change when they latch onto that word and speak that word. Things happen first in the spirit, and then they break out all over the natural. Glory to God. What is a rhema word? What is a rhema word? Well, let's go to the book. Let's go to the word. Let's answer that question in the word. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And that great discourse, that spirit-inspired discourse, praise God, about the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 is our scripture, but I'll read verse 16. 16 says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then 17, our text here. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Which is the word of God. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what?
word. Help me now. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Which is the word. If you have that in your Bible, if that's not circled, circle. The word, word, pun intended, circle it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. Because that Greek word, word, is actually the word rhema. So really the text reads, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. And so part of our armor as New Testament believers, part of the armor of God is this Greek word rhema. And if anybody should know what the word rhema is, it's this crowd right here. If you in this crowd don't know what rhema is, then, well, what's it? But especially this crowd ought to know. But that word rhema is not a word that anybody here at the ministry invented. It's a word that's found right here in the scripture and all over the scripture. The word rhema is found there. You said, what are we talking about now? We're talking about what is a rhema word? I want to make sure we're on the same page. Somebody says, Brother Bill, you said God's got a word for me. I said, he's got a rhema word for just for you. Like taking hot biscuits out of the oven. God's got a word for you. And so here we see the scripture says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, the rhema of God. Now, I went to Thayer's dictionary, talking about the word rhema there in Ephesians 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, the rhema of God. And Thayer's dictionary definition says about the word rhema, it says it's an utterance. It says that which is or has been uttered by the living voice. It is that which is or has been uttered by the living voice. It goes on to say it is a declaration of one's mind expressed in words. It is a declaration of one's mind expressed in words. Think of it this way. When you and I are going through any circumstance, situation, scenario, we have questions, concerns, whatever it is, then God's thoughts about that, God's thoughts about us are contained right here in the word, and the word's already a living word. And when we take that word, which is already a living word, and then the scripture says about that word, it's a declaration of one's mind expressed in words. God has already put the answer into words, living words that are in his book. Now, when an individual, man, woman, boy, or child will take the living word and put that living word down on the inside of them and then speak that word, look out. I said something powerful is about to happen. But so often we get lazy in the process. And so God has a word. He speaks a word to you, but you don't put that word in your heart. You don't put that word in your mouth. But I tell you, when God has a word, when God gives you a word, when a word rises from the pages of scripture, look out. It's like money in the bank. I said, it's like money in the bank. And so a rhema word. I remember 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago. And I had to sell my home, and I was selling my home, but my home wouldn't sell. And I thought we had a beautiful home, not the home that Tony and I have now, but it was I'd just gone through a major ordeal in my life, and I had to sell our home at that time, but that house wouldn't sell because it had a huge roof. We lived on a golf course, and it had a huge roof. And that roof was a wood shake roof. Anybody know what a wood shake roof is? If you know what a wood shake roof is, you old school, you know. A wood shake roof is often the type of roofs that they put on houses a while back that were built on golf courses because, you know, balls or hail or whatever could just bounce off the roof. And the wood shake roof was really one of the most expensive roofs that could ever be put on a house. And but it protected. It was very high protection, very expensive roof. And that house had a wood shake roof, but my insurance company determined at some point that my wood shake roof, that not just mine, but any, was a fire hazard, hence the key word wood. And so I got a nice letter from them one day that said, your entire house is covered, but your wood shake roof is not covered. We have to uncover it. We have to take all of these off of our books all over the country. We're taking off every wood shake roof, and now you have to replace it. And when I called the roofing people to come out, it was $24,000. And I didn't have $24,000. I didn't have $2,400. And I'd just come through a major deal in my life. But God, he gave me a rhema word. And that house stayed on the market for 6 months. It didn't sell because people realized they were going to have to pay for the roof. They're going to have to buy the house, then buy a new roof. Nobody wanted to do that, obviously. And so I went to prayer. I had an unsolvable problem. I didn't have $24,000 for the roof. I had to sell the house, but it was a nice house. I didn't want to just let it go undervalued either. And so I had a dilemma, and I went to the Lord in prayer. And when I went to the Lord in prayer, I hope somebody's listening, he gave me a rhema word. And I read Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's a verse so many of us have read again and again. And sometimes people read that, they might as well say blah, 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 blah. Because they don't really believe what they're reading. But when I'd read that scripture probably hundreds of times, but when I read that scripture in prayer, it lifted off the page to me. To me, it was as if it lifted off the page. It bore witness deep down in my heart. God's telling me that I'm going to supply every need that you have, every need, including that roof. And I felt this, go outside right now and speak to that roof in the name of Jesus and claim a new roof, according to Philippians 4:19. And I remember I went out in my yard. Anybody listening? I went out in my yard and I looked at the roof and I pointed at the roof. And as I was looking at the roof, I got distracted. You know what distracted me? All the imperfections of the roof. And I started seeing what a big, large roof that was. And I started seeing, oh man, well, there's a little piece of shingle that's off there. And there's a little piece that's not centered right there. And there's a little part that's going to have to be corrected there. And I got my eyes completely on the roof and off of the rhema word that God had given me. And I got intimidated by the roof and I ran on back inside. Anybody ever know what I'm talking? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there? But the Lord spoke to me again with that same word, Philippians 4:19. This is for you. Go out there. And I went back out there. I got myself together and went back out there. And I stopped being distracted by what I saw in the natural. And I saw by faith, I've got a new roof. And so I began to say out loud, I've got a new roof in the name of Jesus. Because when I had gone out the first time and I looked at all the imperfections, I had this amazing natural thought that intimidated me. Yeah, but where are you going to get the money for that? Where are you going to get $24,000? That's what made me run inside, because I didn't have no answer to that. I ran. But when I came back out the second time, I said, I don't have to know where it's coming from. I know the source. I know that God is my source. And he has said to me, my God shall supply all, not some of your needs, not part of your needs, all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that means I don't have to know where it's coming from. I said, I see a new roof up there in the name of Jesus. And so every day, I made it my mission every day. Every day when I saw that roof, I made my confession. I backed out going to the gym, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd back out going to the gym. I'd stop the car and say, I have a new roof in Jesus' name. Don't have to know where the money's coming from. I believe the word. Come back from the gym. I'd stop the car before I put it in the garage and say, I've got a new roof in Jesus' name. Quote Philippians 4:19. Get showered, get dressed, back out for work, stop the car and say, I've got a new roof in the name of Jesus. Come back at lunchtime, say, oh, stop the car before I put the car in the garage, say, I got a new roof in the name of Jesus. Go back out to work, say, I got a new roof in the name of Jesus. Come back in, stop the car, I got a new roof in the name of Jesus. You say, well, how long did you do that? 6 months. But then my insurance agent called me and he said, Bill, he said, we got a brand new insurance project, policy that came in, and there's certain high criteria you got to meet. You meet all those thresholds. He said, I already switched your policy over into this other area. I said, what does that mean for my roof? He said, well, your roof is now covered under this new policy. Yeah. He said, your whole roof is covered. That's what I said, praise God. And then he said, well, you have to pay the deductible. The deductible for a roof is not the deductible for the house. How many understand what I'm saying? Oftentimes the deductible for your roof is much higher than the deductible you might pay for your house. And so he said, well, the deductible for the roof is much higher. It's $7,000. I said, well, I'll take that. I was at $24,000 before. I'll take the $7,000. Give me the $7,000. I'll come up with that. I'll find a way. I didn't have that. I would believe in God for that. I said that by faith. I wish somebody would hear me tonight. I said, God's got a rhema word for you. Brother Dan or whoever's singing for me, come on and get ready. I said, I'll come up with that. And then he called me back a week later. He said, you know what? He said, that roof is so expensive, that wood shake roof. I've got to give you the most premium asphalt roof that there is. And to do that, I've got to make it comparatively as if I were buying a wood shake roof. So I've got to reimburse you for the difference between the two roofs, even though we're putting an asphalt roof on there. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, it's going to cost it. I owe you $7,000. In other words, you're not going to owe anything for the roof. I said, glory be to God. Glory be to God. I said, God had given me a rhema word. And then once they put the roof on, it was so beautiful. The roofer came by, knocked on the door and said, Brother Bill, your neighbor looked at your roof, said, it's so beautiful. I asked your neighbor, you want me to go up and look at your roof, see if the insurance will replace it? They said, yeah, went up there. The insurance is replacing them. They're getting a new roof because they saw your new roof. And so we give out referrals. I'm just going to give you $500. So I went from owing $24,000 down to $7,000 down to zero, and then up they gave me $500 because God gave me a rhema word. And Habakkuk says, it shall come to pass. Stand up on your feet. Whatever God has said to you, my friend, we're going to end this portion of the sermon right here, and I'm going to come another time. But it shall come to pass. Whatever God has said, whatever rhema word he has given to you, I want you to know he sent me to tell you tonight, it shall come to pass. Let's sing.
Shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. What the Lord.
There's joy in my heart. I don't know about you, but I tell you, when God gives you a rhema word, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. When he gives you a rhema word, you may be broke, but you won't stay broke. When he gives you a rhema word, you might be worried about something, but worry can't stay. Peace will come on you. When he gives you a rhema word, what he said will come to pass. If you'll stand unwavering and believe and stand on the word, it shall come to pass. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored during this first portion of this sermon to share what you laid on our heart. And we believe that every rhema word shall come to pass. Every word you speak, every word you lift off of the pages of Scripture to us, every word you whisper in our ear, it shall come to pass. Encourage, uplift, strengthen, correct. Whatever is necessary, help your people. Heal them every place they hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight you need prayer, but we have prayer warriors coming down here to pray with you. You say, I want to be saved. Come on down here. You say, I want to be filled. I want to be healed. I want somebody to agree with me in prayer. Come on down here to these prayer warriors. And the way we do it on Sunday night, they're going to pray with you. They're not here to counsel with you, anything like that, but they are here to pray with you and agree with you in prayer. And if you need something, don't go out the doors. Come down here. You won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Pastor Tad, anything else?
All right. Well, looks like we're clear tonight. So be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you, one and all.